from the crypt.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to episode 121 of Dads from the Crypt. My name is Jason. I'm joined by Jody.
Hello.
Hello. And tonight, we're joined by Rachel from the Zombie Girls.
Hi. Thanks so much for inviting me back.
Oh, you're welcome here anytime. And I love that you dressed for the occasion.
You know, we gotta slasher it up.
For those watching on our YouTube, can you show off a little bit of what you got going on there?
Well, we have our little heads. I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can hear my cats rioting in the background. Yeah. I'll deal with this in a second. But I have my little slasher hair clips, and then I have my brooch that has a little activity. You know, if I get bored on the show or you say something I don't like, I can just stab away. Let me see if I can get it back in the slot with that. There we go.
You stab at me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, whenever Rachel's on here, she just really classes this place up because, you know,
open my mouth.
I am currently, you know, dressed in a Don't Stop Believing Santa Claus shirt and my third pair of Camp Crystal Lake pajama pants. That is my outfit for the night. And Rachel, ooh, you know, she looks incredible, just like she always does when she visits. Mm-hmm. So
you guys are so sweet. But you're like so perfectly on theme, right? We're going to be talking holiday spookiness and slasher pants and a Halloween shirt.
That's right. I got both.
I got nothing. I got
it. Wasn't just the heart of a killer and the eyes to match.
I'm just a lonely Jew on Christmas. What can I say?
Aww. You get 12 Christmases, okay?
No. No. Not at all how that works. But what's going on over at the Zombie Girls?
Oh, you know, things are going great. Most recently, we've had some really great, you know, directors over on More Deadly Director's Cut. Mm-hmm. We had Nanochka Khan on recently to talk about Totally Killer. And who else did we talk to recently?
Yeah, the director of Birth Rebirth, which I really like that one. Yes,
Laura Moss. That's one of my favorite movies this entire year, I think, is Birth Rebirth. The episode that's coming out this week is actually on maybe my favorite movie this year. I don't know, guys, if you guys have watched it yet, but is Where the Devil Roams, the latest by the Addams Family, who did Hellbender and The Deeper You Dig.
Fantastic. I keep getting that mixed up with Where Evil Lurks.
Yeah, I need to watch that one too. I've got like my little end of year crunch. And I hear it's pretty bleak and pretty gruesome. So that sounds like my jam.
I started to watch last night and I turned it on and I'm like, am I in the headspace for something this heavy?
Yeah, I feel like
tonight. I'm going to have to wait till another night.
It's a heavy watch for a dad than it is a childless crone like this.
It's a heavy watch, but it's really, really worth it. I highly recommend it.
It was a night that there may have been a gummy already ingested at that point, and I'm thinking this is not the right headspace here. I watched something a little lighter.
I think I watched it like midday, which is probably the best time.
Okay.
When you can look outside and see the sunshine and be like, okay,
you need to go out afterwards. You need to like go outside, get some like vitamin D, get some sunshine. You don't want to like go to bed with that movie rolling around in your mind.
Jason, you live in California where there is sunshine in December. Yes. If I go outside, it's just clouds. It's just more clouds. Dark 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm a delicate, I go to the Pacific Northwest and it's gloomy for 2 days and I'm like in a deep, dark depression. No. Yeah, no, I need the sun.
That's like November through February here. It's just dark and cold.
No, when I say I'm going like out in the sun, I'm just like taking my dog for a walk like halfway down the block and going back into my cave. So it's not like I'm like going sun tanning or beaching or anything. All right, but tonight we are talking about It's a Wonderful Knife, which came out recently, just I think it was December 1st, so it's only like a couple days old as we're recording
this. December 1st on Shudder.
Yeah, on Shudder. Mm-hmm. I think it's a Shudder exclusive, it says.
Mm-hmm.
Jody, give us your plot synopsis.
All right, so I'll get us started here, and we'll get into the details as we go. Yeah. So we are introduced to the town of Angel Falls. I'd say Angel Falls is just as much of a character in this movie as the characters. Think, you know, Kingston Falls from It's a Wonderful Life, or what's the one from Gremlins? It's Kingston something. I know it's a Wonderful Life takeoff. I can't remember. Anyway, but we're introduced to this little town, and it's this idyllic little town, except for one problem. We find out that there is a murderer in town called the Angel Killer, who dresses in all white and has a completely blank mask, just like the angel on top of the tree in the town. We also meet our main characters, Winnie and her brother David, her best friend Kara. Yes, Kara is her best friend. And they're doing Christmas. The mayor of the town, played by Justin Long, who is doing his best somewhere between Uncle Baby Billy from The Righteous Gemstones and maybe Joel Osteen from Real Life Preachers. He's got that that southern kind of... I love his character in this. We meet a bunch of kids at a house party, and the killer eventually ends up at said house party, starts taking people out, including our best friend character Kara and her boyfriend, who gets a candy cane through the back of the head. And we jump ahead a year. And then Winnie figures out who the killer is and kills him by electrocuting him. And that is our mayor, Justin Long. Then we jump a year ahead, and everyone's just kind of moved on. They're acting like nothing really ever happened. Her best friend was killed. She killed a man while saving her brother's life. And she probably could have used some therapy over the last year, but apparently everyone just kind of let it go and pretended that no one got murdered. Town seems to be doing well. Everyone seems to be pretty happy with the fact that this guy is dead. And so in a moment of just feeling the stress, her boyfriend is cheating on her. Winnie goes out and stands under the Aurora Borealis and wishes she had never been born. And due to a little holiday magic, she gets to see what it would be like had she never been born, which, if nothing else, nobody stopped the Angel Killer last year. And he is still out there, still every couple months, murdering a few people. The whole town has just kind of gotten used to this place being full of murder. Nobody knows that it's the mayor. The mayor has bought up every business in town. We're definitely in Pottersville territory. And she has to figure out what to do to get back to her own timeline, to stop the murders and
end the crack cocaine epidemic.
Yeah,
a lot of crack. There's
a lot of crack in this new world. Get back to the less cracky world, the world of pot gummies, where everyone's a little happier and not addicted to crack. I'll stop there. That's enough to get us going. But
all right, Rachel, kick us off.
Yeah. So when I watched the film and then I looked into it a little bit and I saw that it was the same writer as the film Freaky. And I was like, this makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like this writer is carving out this very particular lane of horror where it's this kind of sweet, classic American story that we all know really well. And then infusing it with horror and gore without somehow managing to sacrifice kind of the sentimentality of the original kind of film. And I think that's a really tough balance to pull off. Mm-hmm. It's such a tonal whiplash, but there's enough humor here that I feel like Michael Kennedy actually kind of nails it. This is a perfect Christmas, like, way to kick off the Christmas season. If you're someone who, like, I walk this fine line of really loving Christmas, but also having a pretty low saccharine tolerance. And I feel like because this movie is funny and it is pretty gory and its humor skews pretty dark, it really kind of worked for me. Like, this is sort of my ideal Christmas story. Lots of blood, mm-hmm. lots of gay people. Yeah. So I had a lot of fun with this film, actually.
All right, Jody.
Yeah, I'm right there with Rachel. Like, except for I have a high tolerance for saccharin. I watch the Garfield Christmas every year and get choked up by the grandma finding grandpa's old letters in the attic. You know, like, I embrace the Christmas season. But I also, I like horror. I like violence and gore. I'm going to go see Silent Night, Deadly Night at the drive-in theater this weekend, assuming the rain holds off. You know, I love holiday horror. It's one of my favorite little subgenres. And so this is right up my alley. I do love Michael Kennedy and the way that he manages to thread that needle of keeping kind of the sweetness, like in Freaky. Seeing Vince Vaughn make out with a teenager should just be just ridiculous, but somehow it's ridiculous and sweet at the same time. Yeah. How does he pull that off? I have no idea. But it does. It does. It's great. There was a lot of really fun moments in this. I love the killer design. I've seen some people say it's too plain, but I love how different it is. You know, with the big flowy robes and, you know, this is a very flamboyant killer and it's once you find out who it is and you see that it's this Justin Long character. I don't know what Justin Long is channeling in this movie, but I love his character. Some people think he's overacting. I do not. I think it is ridiculous in just the perfect way.
This is not this is the kind of movie you can't really overact in.
No, mm-hmm. no. This is supposed to be fun. Like, just if have anything, fun with it.
If anything, I wish some of the other actors went a little bigger.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, this movie is essentially Shudder's answer to the, like, Lifetime movie holiday film.
Yeah, exactly. But so it has, the sweet kind of ending of those holiday films. Like, by the time we get to the end, it's circled right back around to holiday sweetness. And I'm totally fine with all of that.
Well, like, the first 15 minutes is essentially a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And the town is a town from a Hallmark movie. You know, one of my favorite quote-unquote Christmas movies is Gremlins. It does take place at Christmas, mm-hmm. but it's the exact same thing. Gremlins is a really weirdly sweet movie with a lot of violence and gore in it, and it's my kind of thing. I love this stuff.
Well, Mike Flanagan recommends it. So
what's that?
Mike Flanagan recommends Gremlins as a starter.
That's right. Horror movie, and then that's his gateway horror before Martyrs.
Yeah.
And Gremlins was the gateway horror that I started my kids with. It was one of the earliest ones that I was like, all right, we're really taking a jump here from like kid stuff with Halloween in it to like an actual scary movie. Mm-hmm. And it was Gremlins. And then when I watched this last night, I watched it with my kids and they had a good time with it and they had fun. And it's great. I had a great time with it. I know this is going to be one of those episodes where I like a movie much better than Jason did. But I will be that guy to represent the really into it. I enjoy this a lot, Jason.
Yeah,
all right.
A little come grinchy on this. I know I'll be a little bit of a grinch on this. Okay, so obviously I've never celebrated Christmas, but I did grow up watching Christmas movies, like the old school, like Miracle on 34th Street, The Bishop's Wife. It's a Wonderful Life is one of my father's favorite all-time movies. Because he really connected with the plight of someone that who like wasn't sure, you know, what their life was really worth or like the effect that it had on other people.
Yeah.
And he really bought into that. And I think that's such a great movie to really hammer home on that. And I love Frank Capra movies too.
Yeah.
I
won't interrupt you too much here. It's a Wonderful Life. People think of it as like this super saccharine sweet movie.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's a dark movie. Yeah, it's really, really dark. It's about like finding light in the middle of darkness and finding a reason to live. It's good. It's great. Like I will stand up for that one.
So I feel like obviously this movie was trying to go for some of that and I don't feel like it quite got there, and I'll get to a couple of those things. But yeah, as it's a Wonderful Life synergistic slasher movie. I don't know what we call that. I just don't feel like we get to that point of like her despair being that bad. I mean, yeah, she's sad. Her friend was murdered, and but like it needs to come. I feel like it doesn't really come around fully in the end.
Her despair.
Yeah, I felt like
there's a little cross section there of who mm-hmm. actually is the Clarence and who's the
yeah, and even reference.
I think that's what makes that work.
Kind of
the same way that like when she wished she'd never been born, I'm like, okay, you went through some bad stuff last year and your boyfriend cheated on you. I get that that sucks, but maybe I wish I'd never been born.
Have you met a teenager?
Oh, I know. I have teenagers in my house. I get it.
I met you every day. They're like, oh, she was never born, Dad.
Yeah, but no, again, to the point where you're literally, I never really felt like she was going to go as far as, you know, George Bailey does to that mm-hmm. point. Like, you feel like George Bailey, his life is literally, you know, he really does feel like that. I don't know. It didn't bring me there. But again, the movie could rise above that. But I have some other issues. Okay, full disclosure. I watched this after Oregon lost to Washington in the Pac-12 championship. So I was already in a not great mood.
Yeah,
so maybe I deserve this.
You were the one under the Aurora Boris already. Exactly. You're a real problem. Why wait till one of your sports teams loses, lady?
I know. I wish I never went to Oregon in the first place. No, okay, but as far as you know, what Jason looks for in the movie, a movie really needs to make a lot of internal sense for me to really enjoy it. And I can suspend belief to a point, but it needs to, as long as it follows its own internal logic.
I followed this movie with Slumber Party Massacre 2. My tolerance for nonsense is so high.
That movie is nonsense start to beginning. That movie has no logic whatsoever and never tries to justify anything. And if a movie wants that, fine, but other movies can't have their cake and eat it too. So like, the fact that in this first of all, why is what's his name, Henry Waters, killing everybody? So his whole point is that he's trying to kill off people so he can get the deeds or whatever, the land, or he's trying to kill people off so he can get their land. So the initial part is that he goes offer this old man who has a house that he wants to build over, and we have to talk about this because he's played by William B. Davis, who was the cancer man from X-Files, which tickles me whenever he's in the movie. Like, come on, I could watch him reading the phone book and I'd be happy. So that's a great little cameo bit, and it got me onto his IMDb. And I just have to bring up the fact that he was in the original It. He was in Look Who's Talking. He was also the Canadian water skiing champion in the '80s.
Wow.
Also, I will say this movie has an amazing cast, which we'll get to all that. So basically, his whole point is that he's trying to kill off people so he could buy up the land to build his super mall or whatever development project he wants. So under that logic, why is he dressed in this really big, elaborate costume? It doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever. Why is he going to this party to kill off all these teens that he has no reason to kill off?
What you're describing is not liking slashers.
If a slasher's reason is to just murder people, fine.
But I'm think okay that's that. The thing is he got a taste for killing and decided he liked it. I think that textual in the film that he started with a motive and then was just like got the bloodlust.
I needed a little something from him as a villain, kind of like explain in that timeline. Explain like, well, you know, I figured while I was out there, I like, you know, I was trying to bring the Christmas spirit. He needs something to kind of justify more than just killing the old man. Because the old man, okay, made sense. He was trying him to sign the thing. The only way to get past that was to kill him.
Absolutely shaking.
I watched multiple movies last night, so I don't know if it was in this movie. But I think at some point they said something to the effect of like, he's killing people and he likes it. Like, I think that when he said that, because it started with a motive, but then he's just like, hey, this is fun. Like, get to put on a costume. I mean, as far as the costume,
Justin Long's character would wear a costume. Like the guy, he is a theater kid. Like you could tell.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
That kid 100% was in like in Guys and Dolls in high school. Like he but just had an opportunity to wear a costume and run around, man.
Yeah. I think I needed like one scene of him in the original timeline just to kind of like explain it a little bit more than he was just that he went overboard with it. Because otherwise it doesn't quite make sense to me.
I'm willing to accept a lot of nonsense in slashers in particular. Like, especially, we talked about Thanksgiving not too long ago. There was no reason for him to, like, kill people in themed ways. Yes,
like, see, that movie I could buy because he was like that for all of his killings. There wasn't any real reason other than associated with the one event. But, again, we don't want to spoil that movie if you haven't seen that one.
Yeah. I have not. I'm not talking details there. But
and then the idea that he's killing multiple people a month. And no, and the mayor could just assign his brother as the sheriff without any prior training as a police officer.
I mean, if it's an elected official, right? Like, I wonder, can the mayor and temporarily put someone in place and then just like pressure everyone to vote for him?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could reverse engineer this in a way that makes logical sense. Yeah,
I just feel like if you have to twist it around that much, it kind of falls apart a little. Again.
Did you really want another scene where they talked about how he got put in the, come on, Jason. Come
I know.
On. You're
I
mean, just I know being a bomb.
Anyway, so,
hold on. I'm on the devil's advocate side here. Mm-hmm. My thought is that's going back to It's a Wonderful Life, because in It's a Wonderful Life, Kingston Falls becomes Pottersville. Like mm-hmm. the whole town is literally named Pottersville, and he owns everything. And I think that's just going back to like things are as bad as they possibly could be.
No, I understand that, but via murder, like, and no one's thought to like call the FBI because there's a serial killer that's killing like that's killed like 30 people over a year. Like, that seems excessive, but
yeah,
that's just my thing as the way I watch movies, looking for the sure. make those connections. First of all, anytime I hear about Aurora Borealis, I just think of steamed hands. Steamed ham.
Yes, sure.
In the Simpsons.
Aurora Borealis located only
in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So, like, again, that's the kind of nonsense I can go like, okay, fine, sure. It's the spirit of Henry Waters that's doing all this locked inside in the Aurora Borealis. Okay, fine. I can deal with that. But what I did love about this movie is the cast is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whoever was the casting director for this movie, hats off to them, because they snagged, like, every role is just stacked with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we talked about the director. I don't know if we talked about this directly already, but he directed Tragedy Girls. Mm-hmm. It's another good social commentary slasher, you know, movie. He did a segment of VHS 99. The writer Michael Caine did Freaky.
Michael Kennedy,
yes.
I said Michael Caine.
Oh.
That would be impressive. It would be interesting if Michael Caine had a side gig making slashers.
He's just going for that EGOT. then the final girl is played by Jane Woodop, who was in Yellow Jackets. And then,
she was excellent in this.
Yeah, I really liked her a lot.
We talked about other slashers recently with Thanksgiving, and the final girl was kind of there.
She's okay.
She was good, though. This final girl was really good. She was an engaging character. I liked her a lot.
Okay, and then we have Joel McHale plays her father, who's, again, he's kind of racking up some like low-key horror bona fides.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Becky and Santa Clarita Diets. And then again, I really like Justin Long. I like big, crazy performances. And
I'm enjoying his villain era. This and Barbarian, I'm like, yes, this is this new resurgence
of Justin Long. With him
as like a leading man, but like as a smarmy villain, I'm like 10 out of 10, nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Like twisting on the other side, his non-existent mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He's
got this like weird speaking cadence, which is kind of like irritating and like, but on another way satisfying. I don't know. It was kind of
if a voice could be punchable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His performance in this was one of my favorite things about this movie.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. And he has these teeth. Like, I think they had to be prosthetic teeth, or they had to be bleached so strong that like they glowed like the sun. But It's so perfect. He's such a weird character. I will never forget him. Like, I love a memorable character.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you guys think of Bernie, quote, weirdo girl? Like, this is another thing in logic in movies where, like, you go to a party and there's someone that no one likes there.
Mm-hmm.
That always seems weird to me. Like, who invited that person?
I ended up liking her character. I don't know what was so weird about her. Like, I never really got that. Mm-hmm. Like, she dressed slightly different than everybody else, but I don't think she was strange enough that, like, the entire town would view her as a pariah. I did have a little trouble because, I mean, even the mayor's like, oh, it's weirdo.
Yeah, it seemed a little forced.
A little bit too much about, you know, what an outsider she is, but I did like her character.
Me too.
I liked her character arc and where she went in the alternate timeline and the things she revealed. I don't know, where are we at on spoilers? Are we up to it yet?
Yeah, we can do it. Just do it.
Okay. In the end, we find out that this was going to be her last Christmas. And so she viewed Winnie as her Clarence, who's actually helping her want to live.
I think if they would have hammered that home further and kind of readjusted the whole movie around that character, I think I would have appreciated it more, but I don't think they pivoted it far enough.
Sure.
Okay.
And in the end, we get another great queer couple with our main hero, Winnie, and Bernie, having, you know, fallen for each other and over the course of all this. I think it's great.
Maybe it's just my cold, cold heart. I thought it was a little unnecessary, but
I thought it was sweet. I'll give you a little insider tea. So Ariel couldn't make it tonight, but she actually interviewed both the director and the writer for this. And the original script, there was no romance there. They were just friends. But the actors basically were like, they shot 2 days together and were like, we're in love. Like, these characters are in love. Like, and so that was added into the film based on, like, the chemistry. Okay. And not in real life. No, but, like, as they were playing the characters, they realized we're playing them like they're in love. And so they added that element to the film.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. Yeah. I just thought, again, my cold, cold heart that night was like,
But it was sweet. I liked that. I thought it was sweet too.
Yeah. Again, reconceptualizing it in that way makes a lot more sense. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Oh, and then we have Catherine Isabel.
Yeah, we gotta talk about Catherine Isabel as the lesbian aunt. She is great in this.
It's so good.
I want more of her in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like every time she's on screen, she was just like eating up the scenery, which is surprising because everyone was kind of going so big, and her sort of dry delivery. I mean, like, who doesn't want her to be their aunt? She's so great in this.
Which just like sucks up the air, but in a good way. Like you can't just like not watch her. So like Ginger Snaps, American Mary, Freddy versus Jason. And I loved her in Hannibal too. That was a great role for her. And then her girlfriend is played by Cassandra Nod. Mm-hmm. Not Cassandra Nod. Cassandra Nod.
Right.
I got the wrong one. Who is great in Influencer. I think
Influencer was a really good movie.
Right?
Came out of nowhere. I really liked that movie a lot. She was great in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want another, like a prequel or something, but more about her character because I have so many questions.
Oh, yeah.
But I loved her performance in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just need to talk about the mom, who's played by Aaron Boyes. I thought she was really fun, but she has an amazing resume of Christmas movies that I have to reference. She was in, let's see, Mistletoe Promise, Miss Christmas, The Christmas Showman, Cranberry Christmas, The Picture of Christmas, and Joy for Christmas. So she is a career Christmas movie actress.
See, I absolutely love that now.
Yeah.
Especially where her character goes, because her character ends up in the darkest part of the bad timeline.
Yeah. And again, and speaking of that timeline, so in the other timeline, Joel McHale's father character turns out he is sometimes the killer. He's like, it's like a dual killer situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do have one. I have a place that I can critique this movie. When did Justin Long get mind control powers to control all the people?
That's the other thing I was going to bring up.
I don't know. Somewhere near the end, Justin Long is standing in the town and he murders someone.
Magic.
straight up in front of everybody, and they hoist his body up, and everyone is standing around with glowy eyes until they, I don't know where this scene came from. It makes no sense. I'm okay with it because, again, my tolerance for nonsense in a slasher, extremely high. So yeah. I was okay with it, but it doesn't make a lick of sense.
Like, if they would have done something about, oh, the Christmas tree was mind controlling people, and like he was like emulating the mind control angel or something.
I got nothing.
I just need a smidge of something to anchor onto. But yeah. that also really, like, I loved his acting in that because he's just like so openly, blatantly villain in that scene. But
oh yeah,
I didn't understand how he was doing what he was doing. So like, again, give me a little, I just need a little something to anchor onto.
Christmas magic. I don't know.
Slasher magic, Christmas magic all together.
Right.
But okay, I'm not saying this is a bad movie, but again, I think compared to like Totally Killer, which I thought was a much better movie. I thought that movie held together. I thought it was much funnier. I thought they really, again, they had everything kind of made sense. It was just such a good riff on the Back to the Future, and I don't know. I thought that maybe because I was just saw that movie in comparison, I thought that was much
better. How did your sports team do that night?
I think they were winning. So. Sure, we can make a graph of when my teams are winning versus when I like movies, but
now, the Venn diagram is a circle, my friend.
Just because I watched Salo on the night the Ducks win and I loved it doesn't mean, you know, I'm in.
Yeah. You know what we didn't talk about was Joel McHale. What did you guys think of the casting on that? I have a quibble.
Really? I kind of liked it. Because he can obviously play the dad, and I kind of like when lovable, goofy guys take a turn. So I was thinking a lot about Becky, where we have, what's his name?
Kevin
James playing, neo-Nazi. So like, again, you have the lovable, goofy guy playing a very serious, very dark character. So I kind of liked that he kind of did that. I could have sworn he did something similar. I might be confusing him with someone else. But no, I was totally down for that. Did it not work for you?
I feel of two minds. Like, on one hand, I do feel like he handled the dramatic scenes well, but then there's something about him that it's one of those things where like I have trouble taking him seriously because he's always just Joel McHale in any role that he's in. And so everything is always said with like a little bit of a, you know? So yeah. I was curious if you guys were, as you were watching that, struggling with a little cognitive dissonance around it.
I was okay with him in the serious scenes because probably because of Becky. No spoilers, but he goes through some stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite part of his, there's two moments. Mm-hmm. One is in the original timeline 1 year later when he's doing like a real estate ad and it's really cheesy and over the top.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
That was fun. I like that a lot. But then also at the end of the movie, he'd been kind of dismissive of her early on.
Yeah. I mean,
they bought her brother a truck and bought her a tracksuit. Yeah. And so the Christmas presents were really like they were being kind of shitty towards her.
Yeah.
And then he gets her a new camera. And that sweet moment, I think, kind of redeemed some stuff there. Like it was a nice, again, it's a Christmas movie. Like, at this movie's heart, as much as it's a slasher, it's also a Christmas movie. And it's not trying to not be a Christmas movie. It 100% is. It's not trying to subvert Christmas. Like, it is literally a Hallmark movie that just happens to have a lot of blood in the middle of it. You know? Yeah. And so, like, I think the sweet moments worked enough to make him work as a character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like I hated him more in the original timeline than I did when he was the straight up killer. the truck scene, and the way he's like, get over it. I was like, burn him.
Kill him. The first version of Christmas at their house was real rough. And I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what's bothering about this movie just came clear to me. So this movie is trying so we have the slasher aspects, which is fine. And then we have the Hallmark Christmas movie. But I guess in my head, I want it to be more of a Frank Capra movie. And it doesn't really nail the Frank Capra part.
Okay.
Which again, when you call a movie It's a Wonderful Knife and you're invoking the plot of It's a Wonderful Life and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
It didn't quite land the Frank Capra part.
It's more of a Christmas cranberry situation.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's completely fair. Because, I mean, the Frank Capra movies are, again, everyone thinks of them as like these overly sweet, like Hallmark movies from the 40s, but they're not.
No.
Like they're real. Like they're real about real things. And I can get that. I can see if you're expecting something to have the gravitas of a Frank Capra movie, this doesn't. It's very light. It's light and fluffy, and I'll watch it, you know, as a fun Christmas movie, but
yeah, this might be one
that makes me cry. You know.
Right. This might be like one of those things where my expectation I need to recalibrate my expectations if I I'll try to watch this again before next year. I'll put it that way, and then we'll see. But I think I was really because I hold It's a Wonderful Life as such a seminal movie in my growing up. So, and I love the slasher movies. So I was looking for a mashup of those, but they went more in the Hallmark Christmas section with plot points from It's a Wonderful Life kind of strung in, but they didn't really go on the promise that I thought I was getting by that name, because it's a fantastic name. And if you're selling a movie like, oh, Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life with a slasher, you know, that's an easy sell. But I think they ended up making it a little more Hallmarky movie than I was hoping for.
Yeah, it's more Christmas freaky.
What's up?
It's more Christmas freaky. Like, that's actually what you're getting. Yeah.
Right. And again, but yeah, freaky, you know, those movies I understand, and that worked well. But, you know, I think I just wasn't calibrated correctly for what this movie was.
I can get that. If you're expecting the kind of emotional impact of a Frank Capra movie, this is not that at all. No, this is much
fluffy,
lighter.
Fluffy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fluffy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An excellent thing to watch after When the Evil Lurks, apparently.
Exactly. Do we have some favorite kills? Like the candy cane?
The candy cane definitely is high up there. That's the most Christmas-themed one, I think, of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Seeing Cancer Man's throat being slit was pretty cool, just as a, you know, an X-Files fan.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was the moment that I was like, oh, this movie's not. Like, this movie's going for it. Because I don't know that I was expecting it to be that gory. So I was delighted by that initial kill.
Same.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the guy being chased around the party, that like that one was a lot of fun. Like I think that one felt the most slashery to me. I did like that the angel was constantly getting his ass kicked, because there's no way Justin Long wasn't constantly getting his ass kicked. Yeah.
It is funny because obviously it's not Justin Long in that suit. So like, it's like a stuntman pretending to get his ass kicked. So it's kind of like, oh.
Yeah. I do always like, because I just rewatched Scream, the whole series again with my kids. And I do like when the slasher is vulnerable. You know, I enjoy a big hulking Jason sometimes, but it's also nice when you feel like this is an actual person in this costume. So I like that. I like that, you know, he kept falling down and getting whacked in the head. There is, again, here's another quibble, just a slasher quibble in general. At one point, it wasn't just DeLong, it was Joel McHale is down on the ground unconscious, and they are trying to creep over him. They don't know it's Joel McHale yet. And they're trying to like carefully step over him so they don't wake him up. Just stab him. Like he is an actual killer. Stab him in the head at that point. Don't worry about not waking him up. Make sure he stays asleep permanently. Like that's a quibble with slashers in general, though. I see so many times when I'm like, just kill him. He's unconscious right now. Kill the guy. He is a murderer. This is self-defense at this point.
Yeah, and usually I can forgive that if it's like one person who's like crazed out of their mind, like, you know, scared out of their mind, whatever. But there's like three people there, and not one of them says, let's just bash his head in real quick. And
just take care of him. He's unconscious. Yes.
And they hit him. Well, it's weird because they pick up like a picture, and they hit him, and he falls down the stairs. I'm like, that's one heavy picture. And then I'm like, it's your house. Just grab anything and finish him. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in the double tap. If the killer is down, take him out.
Yeah.
And that's just the slasher thing in general. Like, that's not just this movie. It's all slashers. It's to keep the tension going. But I'm always yelling at the screen at those moments.
And then
that's the fun of it, right? Don't do this. Don't do that. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, from Jamie Lee Curtis, like, you know, from the OG, we've been yelling the shit.
Yeah, and then I like the movie theater scene. It was kind of fun. I like movie theater set pieces.
Always.
Yeah.
Which again, that usually works better if you're actually watching in the theater. So, but that was kind of fun. It was kind of, again, that was kind of a sweet bit where like, oh, this is just the theater where I go all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I like that bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall this is one I'm definitely going to watch in December. Like, it mm-hmm. will come back around for me on a pretty regular basis, I'm sure, just like Krampus. I watch Krampus every single year. I'm going to watch this one probably most years. Just because it's a fun Christmas movie that happens to have a lot of blood and guts in it.
Yeah, that's a good double feature, but I would watch this one second. Mm-hmm. So that you walk away with a little more smile on your face. That one, that, yeah. You know.
No, that's the mood that was in.
You need something a little darker.
Yeah, probably. All right, let's do a rating on this. 1 to 5 or 0 to 5, 5 being mm-hmm. the best, 0 being the worst. You can do half points. Rachel, where are you going?
Tell me about this rating. In the past, you've said things like compare 5 is a Schindler's List. Is that really the way this works? No. Like, or are we just talking about how much I liked it? Those are very different things.
My ratings are based on enjoyment.
Yeah.
Okay. This one is a 4 for me. I had a nice time. I, you know, as a grown up, sometimes it's hard to get into the Christmas spirit because Christmas is great, but as a grown up, it's also a lot of work. And so to have, you know, something that gave me a little bit of that Christmas feeling, that's really valuable. And I felt I got a little bit of that Christmas feeling from this. So it's definitely a 4 for me.
Hey, Jody.
Yeah, I'm right there with Rachel. This is a 4 for me. It's fun. I enjoyed myself. I had a good time with it. I watched it with my kids, and they had a good time with it. I love that my kids are becoming slasher aficionados. And again, we just watched all the Scream movies, and we've watched through Friday the 13th. And so especially anytime I get to watch something new with them that I've never seen before, it's just a lot of fun. I love watching movies, and I love Christmas movies and horror movies, and it kind of hit all the buttons for me. So, yeah, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. All right.
Jason's going to shock us and be like, 5.
Nah. We forgot to mention that Catherine Isabel's character is named Gail Prescott, which is.
Oh, I didn't even know that's that.
That's funny.
You didn't see that? Yeah. I love it. Well, I saw her name was Gail, and I was like, okay, I see what you're doing there. And then I don't think they must have said that at some point, or because she has a different last name than her sister. Her maiden name.
Yeah.
But it's either looking it up or at some point I saw Prescott. I'm like, okay, gotcha.
That's excellent. That's a nice little fun touch.
That's fun.
Especially giving it to the, you know, most badass. I'm torn between 2.5 and the 3. Which is, I know, for all the crap I just gave this movie, it's enjoyable, and I think in the better mood or, you know, recalibrated, I probably would enjoy this more. The cast is just so good that it's extremely watchable, if, you know, which doesn't sound like a compliment, but trust me, compared to a lot of other movies you watch, you know, it really pulls that through, and there are some good kills, I'll definitely give it that, and if not just for Justin Long. So, yeah, I'll do the 3. For all my complaints, it's still, you know, it's still can warm. It still makes my heart grow 1 or 2 sizes. Nice. Thank you very much. All right. Song of the day. I don't have anything spectacular, but I thought I would do a fun one. For some reason, Rachel, you seem to me like a old school Gwen Stefani fan. Am I right or wrong there?
I mean,
old
school. Yeah, like, sure. Old. Yeah. I mean, like, back in the day, like, in when that first, you know, album dropped, there was definitely, like, a lot of just a girl playing in the Chateau household.
There was a compilation album called Oi to the World, with a bunch of punk covers of Christmas songs, and no doubt did a fun cover of Oi to the World. So that's our song of the day. I don't have anything spectacular to say about it other than it's a fun cover and it feels very thematically on point.
I like it. I like it. So when you guys put on holiday music, do you go classic? Do you go a mix of contemporary? Where do you land on the Christmas music stuff? And Jason, do you listen to Christmas music?
No.
I shouldn't assume. Yeah, I didn't know.
My wife is on the Hanukkah playlist, which again, I'm like, okay, fine, but you know, there's like 2 mm-hmm. or 3 songs and that's it.
Yeah,
different versions of those same songs.
I tend to go more contemporary.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I, you know, I, it, I like the Bing Crosby and stuff like that, but a lot of the older stuff tends to be a lot slower. You know, we are on a podcast where there are two guys that are really into metal and enjoy metal a lot. And I like pop music. Like, I like poppy stuff that is fun and makes me happy when I'm driving down the road. And so, yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff on there.
I love it.
I'm looking right now to see. I have a Christmas list on Spotify that I add some to every year. 645 songs is what it's up to right now, and tend to throw that on. And it, I've been working on it since 2012, adding a few new songs every single year. So, it's a ridiculous one.
Share that with me, please.
I will. I'll give you a link.
I'm like having a housewarming party that is holiday themed, and I've been trying to put together a list of Christmas music, and I'm struggling. So share that with me.
My list has both Bing Crosby and a song that has Lil Jon and the Kool-Aid Man singing All I Really Want for Christmas. So, hey, it's got everything.
Yes, send it to me.
Now, for the record, I thought about doing the Whamageddon, which I didn't really know about. But it's basically you try to see how long you can go without listening to Wham's Christmas classic Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, yeah.
I don't even make it past Thanksgiving. That song slaps, okay? Why would I deny myself the one time of year I get to get down with that song?
Here's my thing. People try to avoid Last Christmas. Fine, sure, whatever. I would rather listen to Last Christmas on repeat from December 1st all the way through the 25th, over and over, then listen to the freaking Christmas Shoes one time throughout the entire holiday season.
I've never heard the song, but it's the second time someone's referenced it this week. The
worst.
I need to hear this song.
It is a song about a man is standing in line buying Christmas presents, and he sees a little boy who's trying to buy Christmas shoes for his mama. Because his mama's dying and she's going to see Jesus tonight.
Oh, my God.
It is an emotional manipulation song all about, I'm going to buy these shoes for my mama because she's going to see Jesus and she needs to have pretty shoes for Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Patton Oswalt has a whole thing about this. He says, since when did Jesus get so catty about shoes? Like, you have to have the right shoes to get in. Especially somebody who grew up evangelical. Yeah. This is so bad.
I blame this song for Joel Austin. Two references in one episode.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a terrible, terrible song. And I would rather listen to Last Christmas over and over and over and over. I think I've posted in the past things like, if you ever hear the Christmas Shoes while listening to the radio, just open the door of your car and fall out so that you don't have to continue listening to it. That kind of thing. It's my worst Christmas song by far.
Oh my God. Wow. I got to hear this thing. I thought the worst song was 12 Days of Christmas, but it sounds like maybe it really is this Christmas Shoes movie.
But does the Christmas Shoes have a Muppet version? 12 Days of Christmas does.
Yeah.
With John Denver and the Muppets.
The Mariah Carey.
Oh, no, that's not fine. That sounds great.
I had that album back in the day on cassette or CD.
I love you, Jody.
I had a roommate in college who was a huge Mariah Carey fan. And he just played all of her stuff. It was weird.
I bought that CD probably when I was 13 or so. And let's be real, part of the reason I like that CD so much is when you opened it up, you have a lot of pictures of like 1993 era Mariah Carey in there, and she was very good looking at that time. And so, yes, there was a lot of extra motivation, but I'm fine with that song. That song doesn't bother me at all.
At that time?
What's that?
I'm still fine. Good looking at that time?
Yeah, I think she's beautiful.
No, I got no problems. Especially as a 13-year-old, though, like, you would buy a CD just because there was a pretty lady inside the cover. So, yeah, good stuff.
All right. The time, Rachel, before the internet, man.
Yeah,
all that shit was analog. The kids will never know the struggle of needing a Mariah Carey CD cover.
All right, Rachel, what's your Christmas song jam?
Ooh, okay. So I love a mix of contemporary and classic stuff. But the one that, I mean, like the one that always goes on first is the that Waitresses song, the like new wavy Christmas. Yeah.
Christmas wrapping.
That one's my fave.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, that's always the first thing that goes on the playlist. But I do, I mean, I grew up listening to like Christmas records and stuff like that. So I love all the like Frank Sinatra, all like the Rat Pack Christmas is definitely.
I do like the Rat Pack stuff, yeah. Oh, we're having a white elephant party at work on Wednesday. So I stopped at Target on my way home from work today. And I got the Charlie Brown Christmas album on vinyl to give to someone.
I would love that. That's a great present.
That's not a white elephant. What is the opposite of a pink elephant? I don't know. Like, that's a great gift.
Unless you don't have a record player, but still.
Classic stuff, man.
I did get the NECA, was it Tiny Toons Saw set with.
That Toony Terrors?
Toony Terrors, yeah, with Jigsaw and Billy the Puppet and the Reverse Bear Trap.
So, nice, I really get that one.
I'm gonna have some fun with that. All right, Jody, do you have some? Are you doing some horror news?
Yeah, I got some stuff for you. First off, this just came out earlier today. Screen Gems, Sony Pictures Entertainment Company, has announced that they are going to really put a big focus on horror coming up soon. They're the ones who made Insidious, The Red Door, The Pope's Exorcist, The Invitation. And that's really kind of where they're focusing, with Gary Dauberman on board to be a big name in that. He's the one who did The Nun, It Chapter 2. He's done a bunch of different stuff. Not my favorite horror movies, but, you know, I'm always down for more horror. So if Screen Gems says, yes, we're going to make a big deal out of making more horror movies, that's great. I love it. It makes me happy. As far as releases right now, the biggest release recently is Godzilla Minus One, just came out. This is the latest Toho Godzilla movie. I watched it with my son in the theater, and I think it's my favorite Godzilla movie ever. It is so good. It's got a human story that is actually emotionally like resonant. All the people you care about, them. You want them to survive. Like in a Godzilla movie, usually the people, whatever, I don't care. If they get stomped on or atomic breathed out of existence, that's fine. They're just there. I'm there to see the big scary monster. Speaking of, though, the big scary monster, actually scary. Godzilla has some moments in this one that he is actually very intimidating, very frightening. So, yes, highly recommend Godzilla Minus One. Just came out in theaters. I think it's a pretty limited run. I mean, we're talking about a subtitled movie in theaters in America. It's not going to last long.
Yeah. If
you haven't seen it and it's still playing, please go see it. You need to see it on a big screen.
It's playing pretty much all the theaters around me, like even the smaller ones.
Even my smaller theaters got it. I just don't expect it to last long.
I'm really excited. I'm afraid that everyone's gushing about it is hyping me up too much. So again, my expectation might be too big. So I'll have to like really temper, but yeah, I'm going to try really hard to see it this weekend.
Really enjoyed it. And then speaking of though, we've got a lot of trailers that have come out recently. One of the first ones is Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. I don't know how to say this one. It's not a versus, but this is part of the legendary Godzilla series. So we're back in America here. I'm a big fan of these movies. I've enjoyed every single one of them. Godzilla versus Kong, King of Monsters, all of those things. These are fun movies. They're the big spectacle Godzillas. You know, it's all about cool monsters and cool explosions and weird world building. Like we've got a whole underground world, Hollow Earth stuff. I like it. I'm down with all this. It doesn't make sense. It's fine.
Does Godzilla have a kid in this movie? I wasn't sure.
I don't know. There's multiple apes of various kinds.
I feel like there was like some like Easter eggs in the Hollow Earth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, weren't there all those like I saw it once, but there were like
some like bones and stuff,
and thrones as well. Like, I kind of feel like they were doing some world building, and I think it's got,
like, a robot arm or something. I was like, at first I thought it was a Transformers crossover because I saw like a robot. hand or something.
And you know what? This is the version of Godzilla that a Transformers crossover would make perfect sense. Like, it's big. This is big movie making. Like, this is watch on a big screen for all the explosions and crazy cool effects. Rachel, you said you've just been recently watching the Monarch series on Apple TV.
Listening to you talk about this, I'm like re-upping my recommendation of this, because there is definitely like those big spectacle moments for sure, but it is really a human story. It's like told in two timelines. Kurt Russell plays, and his son both play the same character, one in the 50s, one in present day, like after G-Day. And it's like legacies of families from the people who kind of like initially discovered the kaiju and like kind of started Monarch. And love then, it. Yeah. So like, if you're no, really into the mythology
you're
of this.
You're speaking my language.
Is John Goodman in it? Or is he just?
Yes. He's in I haven't watched a ton, but he's like right at the very beginning. And there's some like really great sort of like Skull Island type of action right from the start.
I like Skull Island a lot too. That was a fun movie.
It's funny because I saw someone online trying to say like The Thing 2 is being shot, and they had footage of Kurt Russell in the snow, and obviously from the Monarch movie TV show.
That being said, if they wanted to go ahead and make a Thing 2, I would support it. Screen Gems, are you listening? I hear you're in the business.
I'm sure John Carpenter's free.
Yeah. He's playing video games right now.
Yeah.
All right. Some other trailers we got this week. The Boys Season 4 trailer just came out. Seems to be focused a lot on politics and an election. I just watched The Boys for the first time, and I absolutely love this series. I'm down for more of it.
Girls,
it's
get it
so
done.
Good. So good. It's what gives me hope for Amazon Studios productions. Speaking of, we also got a trailer for Fallout.
Yes.
And I really want this to be good. I want this to be good so bad. I love the Fallout world. I love the Fallout games. The trailer looks good, but I still have I just have reservations because I love the series so much. I want it to be amazing, you know.
Yeah, but they get the world right, because like there isn't really like a story like in there's you can do so many different things. You just got to get the world right.
The world, and I think that's where I have a little bit of reservations. And I talked about this in some chat stuff earlier. Yeah. I want a little bit more of that retro future thing that they pull off in the game so well.
Yeah.
They do a little bit of that, like, slowed down, like, pop song thing, except for it's a Nat King Cole song, so it is a 40s song.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to be even more of that. Like, my favorite part about playing Fallout is going into some area, you've got a bunch of bad guys, and you're listening to like the peppiest music from the 1940s while literally blowing their heads up. Yeah. It's that combination of like 1940s culture and then like brutal violence that makes this series for me that I like it so much. So I really want that.
Do you know if Ron Perlman's going to be in it? Because if he's not.
Oh, if Ron Perlman's in it, like I'm 100%. But Walton Goggins is in it.
Walton Goggins is amazing. And I saw, like, I didn't watch the trailer because I'm like, I'm sold, I'm watching it. I don't want to spoil anything for myself. But I've seen screenshots. And when I saw him as a ghoul, I was like, oh, yes, they got that. Yeah. Like, it's the aesthetic in terms of the things I've seen look great. Like, the power armor looks fantastic. And the casting is really, I love Kyle MacLachlan. I like that the girl who was in Yellow Jackets. Like, they're all people I like. So
I'm just so hopeful and so worried. Just I think I'm only worried because I love the series so much and I want it to be good. Well,
and then there's the whole Jonathan Nolan aspect, who, like, I liked some things about Westworld a lot. I love the music, I love the sets and design and everything, but a lot of the plotting and mythology was really not good or not handled very well. So I'm kind of curious what part of that he takes away.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's just say that.
But was
mainly
that
because I'm going to be optimistic just because it exists. Like, that's where my optimism comes from.
Was that Colin McLaughlin who was the guy drinking the coffee and spit it out?
No, that was what's his name? He's from Saturday Night Live. He did the Chronicles of Narnia thing, like the very first.
Chris Parnell.
Chris Parnell, thank you. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's the one doing the coffee thing.
Okay. I love Colin McLaughlin, so I didn't.
Watch him. There's a very brief moment in the trailer with him.
Yeah, I've just seen like screenshots, like, but I haven't actually watched the trailer. That's why I was wondering if they had the like war never changes or anything like that over it. They better. I mean, nothing can ever recreate that feeling of just being like, you know what, I'm just gonna walk out into the wasteland and see what weird shit I find. Yeah, you know, and that's so much of
I jumped into Fallout. The series in Fallout 3, mm-hmm. and that very much, it starts you as a baby and you go through and grow up in the vault, and that first time you open the vault and walk outside, like, I want that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I haven't played a PC game in a long time, and so I just got my Steam Deck. Where would I, if I wanted to jump in, where would I, what would be the game to start?
3 would be great. 3 is a great place to start.
I enjoyed 4. It doesn't have quite as much of a story. New Vegas is fun. I really mm-hmm. like that one. You get to meet really a lot of the different factions. But 3, story-wise, 3 is probably the best.
3 is the weirdest, I think. Yeah. And that's what I liked, because I liked just wandering. Like, there was always story you could follow, but I also would just be like, all right, I'm going to walk north. And there'd be something weird. Like, I'd find like a Cthulhu basement or like some cannibals who were trying to eat me, you know?
That's how I always play Bethesda games. I will have a quest that I intend to do, and then I'm like, okay,
there's just so much.
I'm going to go in this cave for the next 45 minutes.
Yeah. I look forward to putting it on my wish list, maybe buying it on sale, and then never downloading it.
They're always on sale.
I know.
Nowadays, because they've been around for a while. So, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely worth picking up.
Yeah, that or New
Vegas. One more trailer to mention. Furiosa just got their first trailer. The prequel to Fury Road. I mean, it's George Miller. It's the Mad Max universe. If you like that, which I think most people do, yeah, check it out. It's going to be. I'm always hopeful because it's George Miller. He's still doing his thing, and he's taking the time he needs between movies to like build it up. So,
yeah. I don't know if it was just the way, like, watching on my phone or anything. It looked a little weirdly glossy. Like weird filter. I'm hoping that looks better in the theater. But also, I love Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's a fantastic actress. Mm-hmm. She's like, something about her eyes. Like, I can just like, they just are so captivating, like in the way that like you just can't not stop watching her as an actress. So I'm really excited for that part too.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. A couple more quick things. I had too many this time. The What Happens Next Will Scare You, which is the latest movie from the people who made the WNUF Halloween special. That's coming to Blu-ray. So if you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, you have that option coming up in January. And then finally, if you have Screambox, Tenebrae, one of my favorite Dario Argento movies, one of my favorite giallo in general, the new restoration of Tenebrae is now streaming on Screambox. So if you have Screambox, you get like all the best picture and best quality of this fantastic giallo. If you like giallo, it's definitely worth checking out. Wait, I said that was all. There's one more. There's a novelization of Silent Night, Deadly Night coming out.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to read it. I'm definitely going to read it. It's then coming out
from the people. You've got to also read the Gremlins novelization while you're at it and learn about Mogdorman.
From my time going to the Scholastic Book Fair as a kid and reading Dumb and Dumber the book. This is my stuff, man. I had both My Girl and My Girl 2 in book form and Dumb and Dumber in book form. And so
My Girl 2 the Resurrection.
Yeah. I love the novelizations. It's being put out by the people who made the Stop the Killer games, which are the like slasher based board games. And so yeah. Just fun stuff. If you're a horror fan, there's so much fun stuff out there in the world. Find it, enjoy it, pay people so they keep making it.
Hell yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Speaking of Screambox, I started watching, because I'm playing RoboCop on the Steam Deck, I started watching RoboDoc.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the first episode. It's like, there's like four episodes. And the first one, that's very good. Very, very good. I watched the first one. I really enjoyed it. So,
yeah, Jason, I think at this point we need to talk to the Screambox people, because I end up recommending them all the time. Like, Screambox is a great streaming service. I love Shudder, but Screambox is right up there.
I have a problem. I don't know if it's me or the app or whatever, but every time I pause something or like go away, it won't go back to where I was. So I don't know if that's like a functionality thing, or I don't know, my phone's being weird, but
maybe I just don't pause movies. I'm in the moment.
I have kids. I have to pause things. I'm sorry.
I watch very late at night.
It's my not possible late. In this realm of existence to watch something and not be interrupted by a child, even late totally at night.
Fair. I understand.
But no, they have some good content that's really growing. Onyx, Fortuitous, with a great interview with Andrew Bowser. It's funny because when we talked to him like a year ago when he was just finishing the movie, and he was explaining to me, and I understood the concept. I couldn't quite visualize what this movie was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I saw him, like,
describe.
I get it. I was really impressed when I finally saw it. It was like I could not wrap my head around it until I saw it. And I'm like, okay, got it. It's great. And I would love, and again, he hasn't done a Kickstarter or anything yet. But if he does, if and when he does, or hopefully gets funding traditionally for a sequel, I'd be very, very happy with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he's begging for a sequel.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
All right. Man, we've talked a lot of holiday stuff for our, trying to think of what we want to do for our advice section. Rachel, you're our guest. What you got for us?
Holiday advice?
Advice? Other advice? What would you advise going on?
Can you narrow it down? Give me a topic. I'll pull something out of my ass, but that is a little broad.
Holidays. What's the Rachel? Do you do a tree? What's your tree status?
So I moved this year, and so I needed to get a new tree, and I may have overbought. I bought a 9-foot tree that is like
this. Damn.
It is enormous. It is a Godzilla tree, but I don't know. I love the holidays. So I go big. I get ridiculous. My entire house, not this room, but like my entire house is completely decked out. I think
looks decked out to me. So.
Well, I mean, it's decked out in my like spooky doings, but not in my holiday stuff. It may look like I'm decorated for Halloween, but this is just my lifestyle. No, I think embrace the holidays and the cheesiness and the hokiness, and because there is a purity to that, you know, like you can be cynical about it, or you can choose to just lean in and embrace it. And I feel like, you know, let's be honest, next year's gonna be rough. We're in for some rough seas in 2024. So let's all just collectively embrace joy for this month. Let's listen to Wham. Let's listen to Mariah Carey. Let's listen to the Brat Pack. Let's make cookies. Let's embrace however you celebrate the holidays, whatever sparks joy for you. Like, let's give ourselves the gift of December. That's my advice. That's my holiday advice.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Our house was built in 1940, and in 1940, big rooms were not a thing, like with high ceilings. And so we don't have room to put up a full traditional Christmas tree. But what we do every year is I get garland, and I map out on one of our walls. I make a big triangle, and I use the garland to build a tree on the wall, and then I hang lights all over it. And so in our small space, it only sticks out a couple inches from the wall, but we get a full, very lit up Christmas tree that we do every year. And it's worked for this house. I also, we have a fireplace that I don't use. And so I take the stove and I wind lights up the stove, and I make a little fake fire in there with Christmas lights and stuff. So, you know, do what you got to do to bring a little light. I love the glow of the lights. My wife always gets on to me because I want to keep them up through February. You know, I never want to take them down. I like all the nice lights. And so, you know, it's a time. And again, like Rachel said, 2024 is coming up. It's an election year. There's so much happening in the world. It's nice to have a little moment where you can just go, this is nice. I'm with family. This makes me happy. And, it's good to be happy.
Nice. Yeah. My oldest child is coming to visit, like, for the first time as an adult, where he's like, he bought his own tickets and, you know, he like made his own arrangements and everything. So, Yes, I'm really, really looking forward to that. He's going to be here for Hanukkah, and that's always a great time, and the kids are super excited. And yeah, especially, like, you know, it, within the realm of Jewish world politics, it's not a great time for that either. So
no, sure isn't.
I'm hoping that the holidays go on without any extra strife in the world is my wish for that. On all sides, but yeah, but I'm looking forward to embracing that. And my kids don't know what the hell's going on. They just want to, you know, get presents and, you know, see the lights and stuff. So hope I can provide them with that. My wife is, but she's all about that. So yeah, looking forward to that.
We always try to, you know, embrace a couple little traditions that we do every year. A couple of years ago, we started our neighboring bigger town. We live in the sticks, but the bigger town does like a parade of Christmas lights where they have a list of all of the houses that have entered the like Christmas light competition. And so we drive around every year and go look at Christmas lights and make cookies and stuff like that. You know, it's just do nice things this month. Enjoy things. And you can do it with slashers, you know, on the side. Like, there is absolutely no contrast between going and looking at Christmas lights and watching Silent Night, Deadly Night. All of it's part of the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah. And in full disclosure, when we were talking about what to do, we decided we wanted to do something Christmas themed. So I had this amazingly overambitious idea of reviewing all three Black Christmases in one night. And I'm like, ugh. That sounds fun, but a little too much. For those on our Patreon, we didn't talk about Patreons this week, but we put it to a vote between Santa Slay and this movie. And surprisingly, we ended in the exact tie. So Rachel got to do the tiebreaker.
I've seen Santa Slay. I reviewed it a million years ago on the Splattercast, and I haven't seen this one yet. So yeah. I wanted to do this one.
That was fun.
And we really can't talk about Santa Slay without Mondo anyway, right? Well,
yeah, that was before. Right.
That's why I chose it. Yeah.
If I'd known Mondo wasn't going to be here, it wouldn't have been a.
We can't have a wrestler backed movie with Mondo out for the day.
The illusion of choice, I see. Got it.
Yeah. When we were doing that, I didn't know Mondo wasn't going to be available. So worked out how it worked out.
It's all meant to be. Christmas miracle. Yeah. See?
Christmas miracle.
It all works out how it's supposed to. And we all came away from it, appreciating life just a little bit more.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you and the Zombie Girls?
Well, thank you so much for the invite. I always have so much fun hanging out with you guys. And it was so exciting to discover that I have such a kindred spirit in Jody, my fellow Christmas lover. That's so exciting. So for more of this, I'm all across the Zombie Girls Network. You should come check it out, at least for my co-hosts. Mostly, let's be honest. But if you want to
keep interviews.
Thank you. Yeah, we have in fact, this is a holiday themed one. We interviewed Jen Wexler, the director of The Sacrifice Game, which comes out this Friday and is a great Christmas horror film for you, Jody.
Is she the one who did The Ranger?
She is.
I like The Ranger. That's good. Okay.
Well, I think you're going to like this one. It's like set in the 70s, kind of has a Manson vibe, and it's kind of a Christmas possession movie. I don't know. Ooh, give it a look.
Yeah.
Fun. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, all those things at ZG Podcasts. So come give us a follow, slide into them DMs, and wish us a Merry Christmas.
Okay. Well, next week we will be covering the second to last Tales from the Crypt episode About Face. We appreciate everyone for listening. We would really appreciate if you would give us a rating and review on iTunes, a rating on Spotify, and check out our YouTube for videos of these podcasts. And with that, thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch, but be careful what you ask for. You may get it. Ha 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 ha.